Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio with some Grace University peeps. Why don't you introduce yourself and say hi?
Hi, I'm Taylor Thompson.
I'm Becca Bauman.
And of course, Miss Tara's here and myself, Sandy. We are going to begin a new book.
Yes.
James.
We finished Philippians. How long did it take us?
A year? But you know what? It's okay.
Four chapters.
But it's interesting too, though. You know, James and Peter, both Peters, are always encouraging us to, you know, follow through, stand firm.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. I like James. It'll
when
be fun.
Greg and I first started dating, Greg suggested that the first book of the Bible that we studied together would be the book of James, because James is a basic instructions for Christians.
Right.
And James does an excellent job in just helping us to understand the importance of how to walk with integrity as a Christian. And I, when I was studying and preparing for this, because we actually are walking through it at our church as well, I found that David Guzik pointed out that there's actually like 15 references to the Beatitudes through the book of James. So James is reflecting about his what he's learned from his brother, which is kind of fun, kind of exciting. The other thing that we need to know is that it's coming from, we can look at Acts 15. And whereas, you know, when we did Philippians, we talked about Acts 16 a lot. Acts 15 is a good book for us to go and look at to see what is going on. And historically, there's some crazy things occurring that it's extremely important for us to understand. There's actually a war, a Jewish war, that's occurring in 66 AD. And so things are happening. He's writing to the audience of the Jewish people. It's good for us. It is for Gentiles as well, but his purpose is the Jewish people. And when we get in and read this, we're going to see he's talking to all the people that have scattered because of the persecution that's happening, because of the war that's happening. And as that the persecution increased, the people just like exploded and went all these different places. And so that kind of sets the scene. And so let's read James 1, 1 through 12. Anybody want to volunteer? So it's not just my voice? You don't have to, but
I can.
Okay.
All the way through 12?
1 through 12.
James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower in the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flowers fall and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
Thank you, Becca. May God honor the reading of his word. Okay, so when we did this in class, we asked the question, you know, what is one of your favorite foods to eat, to make? Like, what do you like to make?
Cookies.
Cookies? Okay. Taylor?
Anything with cheese.
You want to eat cheese or can you make cheese?
Oh, no, I guess.
Actually, like, bake it. You, like, cook?
Macaroni, then.
Okay. Macaroni?
Yeah.
Banana bread. All the time and take it to my friends and neighbors.
That's awesome. Okay, so each of those ingredients, when you have them and they're alone, the ingredients don't necessarily taste so good by themselves, but when you put them all together, it ends up making something yummy, like a cookie, macaroni, or a banana bread. In our class, one of the young women's like, fajitas, and the next thing I know, she snapped me. She's like, we need to do that. So weeks later, we set up a date, and a whole bunch of students from our class, that we just filled our house. We made fajitas from scratch on Sunday and just hung out. But there is something that happens when you take all of these ingredients and you put them together and you make something. And that's what James is going to be doing in this book. There's lots of different ingredients that he's going to be introducing. He's going to be addressing pride and the rich versus the poor. He's going to deal with persecution. He's going to deal with faith. He's going to talk about withholding things from people. He's going to talk about temptation. He's going to talk about trials. He's going to talk about, I mean, like, it's a whole bunch of stuff, and you're kind of thinking, what does this have to do with anything? But when you put it all together, it's actually a beautiful reflection of what the integrity of a Christian should look like. And it actually tastes good, which makes you think of the Jeremiah passage. Okay, so as we are reading this, who is the author of the letter? That's a no-brainer.
James.
And what you need to know is that's actually the word Jacob. It's Jacob. In English, we use the word James. I think it's Santiago in Spanish. It's just like in different countries, it's actually a different word, the common word that we use for that translation, but it's actually Jacob if we go to the original language, what it was.
It's also Jesus' half-brother.
We're going to go through scriptures on that.
I love that.
That is good. And so what we could do is I'm going to give you some verses, and we're going to learn some things about this particular James. So, Sandy, would you pull up Mark 6:3? Since you point that out. And Taylor, I'm going to have you go to John 7, 3 through 5. And Rebecca, if I could get you to do Acts 1, 14. And then when we're done with those, I'm going to give some more that I want us to go through. And so we're going to see here what we can learn about James and the process of his journey as he was walking as a disciple. Do you have it, Sandy?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Mark 6, 3. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him.
Okay, so right here in Mark, Mark references James, his brother. Okay, John 7, 3 through 5.
Okay. Jesus' brothers said to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples may see that the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him.
So what do we learn about the brothers?
They don't believe.
They don't believe. Mm-hmm. They don't believe him. And so they're actually calling him out. Like, why are you in secret? Why are you hiding? They're, like, not encouraging him to be doing what he's doing. They're trying to change the path of what he's doing. Okay, let's do Acts 1:14.
All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers.
So what was James doing?
Praying.
Praying in Acts. So, and this is after the call to Acts 1:8 of you shall be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. And so he's a part of the prayer team that's praying for this to happen. So here we have, he's his brother. He didn't believe. Now all of a sudden we see prayer is starting to enter in. So Sandy, I want you to go to Acts 15:12, and this is the situation where I was telling you guys that this is James. This is a revelation of James. This is like his big deal. And then I'll have you do Becca Galatians 1:19, and I'm going to have you, Taylor, do Galatians 2:9.
Okay. Acts 15:12.
Mm-hmm.
The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God is first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written." I read a little bit too much.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all good. So he's the person that's speaking at the city of the Jerusalem Council and the whole assembly. And he's the one when they're starting to do the infighting. He's like, wait, stop, listen. So here we see not only was he at one point he didn't believe, then he started to become a prayer warrior. Now we see he's becoming a voice of reason when people are out of whack. Okay, go ahead with 1:19 in Galatians.
But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother.
Okay. So Paul's now starting to point out that James is the one that he's seeing around as he's doing the ministry of reaching the people. Okay. And do the next one, 2:9.
Okay. James, Peter, and John, those who reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me.
Hmm.
Oh, wait, it keeps going. Mm-hmm. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they go to the Jews.
All right. So what does this passage tell us about James? First, he's a what for the church?
Pillar.
A pillar. Okay. And then two, he's in fellowship and he's recognized as one that's giving grace. And then what else? He agrees to go to who?
The Gentiles.
Okay. So we've watched this happen as we're seeing, and he's become from a person that was a scoffer to now he's known as a pillar in the church, and not just a pillar, but somebody that is literally an evangelist, and he is in pursuit of making sure that they're reaching the Gentiles. And so the book of James, though it is written to the Jewish people that have dispersed because of the persecution, we have to understand it's his heart is so that they can understand, so they can reach the Gentiles. And we never get out of, even if a book is written towards a particular people group, it's still written to the other people groups. And so it's important we see that hierarchy of things. I also have in Acts 12, 1 and 2, it says, it was at this time that King Herod arrested some of those who belonged to the church intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Martyred. He's one of the first martyrs. And so, you know, go ahead. And
I had read that he was the leader of the Jerusalem church and that he was pushed off the pinnacle and the tower. And then he didn't die.
Then they stoned him.
They stoned him to death.
It was a really horrible.
But he was praying for him as they stoned him.
Yeah. A very humble heart. So this gives us an idea. So we need to know who James is and understand him. So why do you think that he didn't introduce himself then, knowing all these things that we just learned, that he's a prayer warrior, he's a pillar, he's an evangelist, he's fighting for not just the Jews, but for the Gentiles. He's fighting for everybody. And that literally we can see on this side of things, he was willing to be martyred for what he believed, but yet he did not call himself Jesus' brother. Mm-mm. Why do you think that is?
He's humble.
That's what I was going to say. He's humble. Yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't his faith take place like after he saw Jesus?
Ascension.
And after the resurrection? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the resurrection, not just the ascension, yes. Yeah. And, okay, so humble is the key word that we're thinking of. Okay. The people that he's trying to reach, the 12 tribes, why do you think that they use that term, the 12 tribes? Think through scripture and what you know about the number 12. What does it make you think of? Would that be the same as the tribes of the Jews?
Well, I'm thinking Revelation, the 12 tribes.
Yeah. It would be all the way through. And recognizing, so whether it's the tribe of Benjamin or, you know, whatever, Jacob, it doesn't matter. It's all of them.
Israel.
Yeah. Israel as a whole, and he's wanting to reach them. Okay, and because the tribes have believers, they've gone all over the place. The thing is what's happened is they weren't witnessing. And this is really sad. Okay, in Acts 1:8, they are told, you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. Persecution increased. They actually weren't doing what they were supposed to be told. They stayed in Jerusalem, and they were kind of like gathering, and they were like together. And then as the persecution happens, then they go out. God used the persecution to make them spread, and that is actually what made the gospel go.
I think like that, you know, they stayed in their comfort zone.
It's so easy.
They stayed in with the Christians. They stayed together. Yeah, instead of going out and searching for those that
right.
need him. Yeah.
Right. And so he had them go out and they used that. Now, I also, in church history, this is not the Bible. So you shared about how he was martyred. He was also known, they called him Camel Knees.
Camel knees? Mm-mm.
Yeah. He was so known for his prayers that apparently his knees looked like camels. Mm. And like you know how, I don't know if you ever seen a camel, their knees kind of have scabby. I don't know why, but they're kind of like rough and calloused and stuff. And apparently that's what his knees looks like. And so he was known as camel knees. And I just thought that was hilarious. And he called himself the bondservant of the Lord because in the Hellenistic days, the Jews would use the name of God to reveal what they believed. And so for those that were reading this that were may have been Greeks, by the way he used that name, he's actually cueing into them his God. And so setting himself apart as I believe in, you know, Yahweh, like, but using the name that they would understand. So I thought that was pretty powerful. And then, okay, so we're going to go a little deeper. I want to take us into some scriptures that relate to what it means to be a follower, a witness, because of the fact that that's what they needed to do. So I've already referenced it, but I would like Becca read to us Acts 1:8. I'm going to have Taylor do the Acts 2:5. Sandy, I'm going to have you do Acts 8:1, okay? And we're going to look at just how the scattering and the people and what was going on. So go ahead. You got it, Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's read that one. Acts 1:8.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Okay, all right. So when you think of the world map, what would that look like? Is it staying in one place and only for a certain people group? Or is it growing?
It's growing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like if I were to take a rock and I was to say, okay, this is Jesus' witness, and I threw my rock and it landed in Jerusalem, and like if it was water, it would like form the rings of how the water spreads out. That's what the visual should be like for us as we see this. Okay, let's do Acts 2. Five.
Okay. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven.
Okay. Where were they all from? And some translations that actually list all the places. It'll tell all over.
Oh, no, it says that, yeah.
It's a what? Does it say all over?
Does it say verse name?
It may be a little further down. Okay. We have just a few.
Yeah. There's a ton of
Medes,
countries.
Persia, like all of them, right?
Yeah, Mesopotamia. Mm-hmm.
All over the place. Like they're from everywhere that the word is going out. And we're so glad you've been listening. We only have 20 seconds left. We'll continue this because we want you to see how the gospel message was spreading out for the people and that James was trying to reach them, encourage them on how to be a people of integrity. God bless.